Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
And so, Lord God, move by your Spirit, hover over your word this morning. And again, I just pray that you would give us eyes and ears to see and to hear your word. We pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. So, as you know, this is the fourth in the series, This is Living Now. As I've said before, and will continue to say, our Christian walk is not much different to the latest gizmo. Most of us have something new, but are we using it to the fullest intent that it was designed? John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance, that is to the full till it overflows." If you haven't got life to the full, if you haven't got life that is overflowing, then it's being robbed for you. And the Bible tells us that Satan does that. We know what God has intended. We know what the Word intends, and that is for us to have it to the full. But to do that, we must continue to study it. We must continue to open it up. We must continue to look at the things that are there for us that we're not using. Having the basic functions covered as Christians, it's now time again to read the manual, to find out, to start making the most of the other features and benefits that are hidden and it's designed. Now, as I've been doing this week, I have a new discovery. And Matt Daly, I want you to put your phone down. Your daughter, when you were in church with her a couple of Sundays ago, when I told you the latest gizmo, she said that you spent the whole of the service trying to find out how it worked. Now, I found out this week that if you type a whole lot of stuff in your phone and you don't like it, you don't have to go push. Matt, you just give it a good shake and it undoes it. Now, isn't that clever? Andy, did you know that? You did. Pastor Roxy, did you know that? But we're in trouble because iOS 11 comes out this week and iPhone 8 comes out. And so there's going to be a whole lot of new things that we're going to have to learn. But that's scriptural too, because the Bible says that we are to mine the Word and that He'll continue to reveal its hidden mystery. So there's much more for us to get. So as we walk through these foundational truths, don't fall into the trap of thinking you know it all. Don't sit there and say, well, hey, he's going to talk on the Holy Spirit. I know all about that. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Or maybe you do and you are not using the fullness of what the Holy Spirit has brought to you. In week one, we looked at salvation. We haven't got time to go back over all of these things. You can get them on podcast. You can download the actual physical notes if you want on our website. Week two was water baptism. Matt shared on sharing our faith on week three, and this morning we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. So I hope what I say this morning will give us some insight into why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit in the first place. What is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And then finally, we'll look at making the most of the power of the Holy Spirit. So for me, the why is all summed up in what Jesus told his disciples before he departed. I love this scripture. I love this passage because it just gives me so much clarity as to why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. He said in John 16:7, "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth." I love that. Jesus is saying nothing but the truth. "When I say it is profitable, it is good, it is expedient, it is advantageous for you that I go away." Now, the disciples probably didn't think that at the time. You know, they've enjoyed 3.5 years of ministry with him. They've watched him do amazing things. They've seen some fantastic stuff. How can this be the truth? How, in you going away, are we going to benefit? Because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. That is, into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship. Now, why do we need the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus knew without the Holy Spirit, without the comfort, the counsel, the help, the advocate, the intercessor, the strength and the standby being in our life, we'd never be able to achieve that which he was commissioning us to do. And also, without the Holy Spirit living in our lives, we would never be able to stand up to the onslaughts of the enemy that we have thrown at us and will continue to have thrown at us. You see, the disciples proved this firsthand. We can read the account of the disciples. Even though they had spent 3.5 years of their life with Jesus, they'd watched him perform incredible miracles. They'd seen him pray. They'd seen him minister into their lives. They still didn't just get it. As Jesus said he would, Peter denied him 3 times. Others, they fell asleep when he asked them to pray with him. They ran and deserted him when he was being tried. And then as we come to the last chapter of Mark, record tells us that 3 times after he'd been resurrected and showed himself to them, they doubted and they showed unbelief, even though he had told them that he was going to be raised up on the 3rd day. When Jesus finally appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, he rebuked them. He said this. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And so we have in Mark 16 the account of these unbeliefs and Jesus' statement, his rebuke of them. But then immediately after that, in verse 15, he says this, "Go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will get well." There's a question here. How is this pack of weak, unbelieving men who had denied him, deserted him, who couldn't hang in there to the end, going to achieve this great commission? Jesus said it all. "Better that I go, that the Holy Spirit might come." Jesus knew that in giving them that great commission, he wasn't setting them up for a fail or a fall. He was empowering them with his Spirit, who was going to operate in them and through them as they did his work. They wouldn't be relying on their own strength, because we know how that outworked. They were being given power and strength from on high. And again, in Acts 1:8, we read that. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Power to be witnesses, not just to our neighbours, not just to our city, but to the whole earth. We haven't got time to read through the book of Acts and to look at all the miracles that were performed. But if you just want to do a quick study on Peter, Peter who denied him, Peter who shied away, you find that Peter, having been empowered from on high, went back to the same place where he denied Jesus and he preached the word of God. You see, others doing miracles that they couldn't do before. There was a boldness, there was a power, there was an authority that they had after the Holy Spirit had come upon them that they didn't have before. They weren't doing it in their strength. They were doing it in the supernatural power of God that was now in them. I'd like to tell you that we're not much different to those disciples. Many of us deny Christ. Many of us sleep on the job. Many of us, when persecution comes, do a little bit of deserting. If we're going to stand for Christ, if we're going to witness for Christ, if we're going to be His representatives in this earth, then we're only going to do it through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. So now we see, I believe, why Jesus sent His Holy Spirit. The next question is, well, how do we get this power? Romans 8:9 says, if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. I believe that this scripture is pretty clear. Every person who belongs to Christ receives access to the fullness of God's power. Your spirit becomes alive. Now, I've done this before in previous messages, and I'm going to do it again because the physical, the visual gives a little bit of help. Al, pal, can you do me a favor? Can you find a PowerPoint and plug that in for me? And then put your finger in the end and just see that there's power in there. When we are born again, we plug in to the power or all the benefits the Holy Spirit brings us. Just as much as Al is finding a power source and he's plugging that 3-pin socket into the power source, we know that now at the end of this cord is power. Power comes when you plug in to the power source. Power comes when you invite Jesus Christ into your life. Ever done with that with a 9-volt battery? Just tingles a little bit. 240-volt gives you a far greater kick. When we're born again, and I know that to die-hard Pentecostals, you might not believe what I'm saying or agree with what I'm saying, but please work with me. When we're born again, I believe that we can prove through Scripture that we're born of the Spirit, that we receive the Spirit, that we have the Holy Spirit falling upon us, that we are endued with the Holy Spirit, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and as we read in Acts 1:8, we are given power from on high. Everything that Jesus has promised, I believe, becomes ours right there and then. No need for unlock codes. No need to buy some optional extras. When the Holy Spirit comes within you, it's in the bank. It's there. It's right there. The power is right there. But then you've got to plug it in. You've got to start using it. Now, when I got saved, I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I was taught at a later date about speaking in tongues. And guess what happened when I was taught about speaking in tongues? I started to speak in tongues. It wasn't that it wasn't there. It was because I didn't know about it. As soon as I knew about it, I just plugged the tool in, started to use it. So by faith, we have the ability to start using. Oh, sorry, I'll go back to that scripture. I need this scripture. Ephesians 1:13-14. In Him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings of salvation, had believed in and adhered to and relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge, the foretaste, the down payment of our heritage. It is anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of his glory. So let's look at some of the things that the Holy Spirit brings to us, that's there for us. We have the fruit of the Spirit, or fruits of the Spirit, as it truly is. We have love, we have joy, we have peace, we have patience, we have kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all there. You might not have them all operating, but the power to operate them is there if you want to use it, if you want to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. I might not demonstrate patience. That's not the Holy Spirit's fault. That's my fault for not allowing the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in my life. We have the gifts of the Spirit: prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing, leadership, showing mercy, messages of wisdom, messages of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. The Bible says all of them are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. We have the graces of the Holy Spirit: faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness and love. As we already said, we have the power to witness. You might not know what to say, but the Bible says that through the Holy Spirit, he will give you the words to say. We don't have to get ugly and angry with people. We don't have to become nasty with people. We go in love and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what to say. We have the ability to exalt and to glorify Christ as the Holy Spirit operates, as we allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives, as we allow the Holy Spirit to demonstrate himself through us. The Holy Spirit will automatically exalt Christ. And through Christ, he leads them to the Father. We have the taste of the power of the world to come. One of the scriptures calls it an earnest. An earnest is like a down payment. Just think of that. We have a taste, just a down payment of the power to come. Imagine what that would be like. We have help with our prayer life. You have speaking in tongues, which is to the body, but you have also our personal tongue, our own tongue, which edifies us, which builds us up, which enables us to communicate directly to God. Chris will talk about prayer next week, and I'm certain that she will bring a little bit of that in. You will, won't you? Good girl. We have a new and a greater understanding of the Word. It says in John 14 that the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything, even those things that I've said. We can be led by the Spirit, again, by just allowing the Spirit to guide us. Holy Spirit, guide me today. Lead me today. The Bible says that Holy Spirit brings life to our mortal bodies. That word life, it quickens, it makes alive our mortal bodies. As the Holy Spirit comes within us, we have God's love, the Bible says, poured in to our hearts. And then in Jude 1:20, but dear beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit, talking of speaking in tongues again. So by utilizing that gift that the Holy Spirit brings to us, we can edify ourselves. We can build ourselves up in our faith. I unashamedly Whenever I walk, will speak in tongues constantly. Why? Because if it's building up my faith, I need it to build up my faith. I need more and more faith. The opposite faith is doubt. And that's why so many people doubt that the Holy Spirit language comes from God, or they think they're making it up, because the enemy doesn't want you to build up your faith. I encourage you to speak in tongues as much as you possibly can. Build up your faith. As I said, I believe the minute we're saved, we receive the fullness of everything we need to achieve what God has called us to do. What an incredible thought. What incredible potential. What an incredible honor. What an incredible privilege. So as we consider our theme, This is Living Now, what do we have to do to move into the realm of power that Jesus has given us through the Holy Spirit? Because it's one thing to have it, it's another thing to use it. And unfortunately, I think that the church is weak and sickly because we don't use what God has given us. And, you know, again, I'm not being unkind. I think we've become too comfortable. I think if we were living in some of the countries around the world where there was persecution, where there was a cost to be a Christian, then we'd be relying and using the power that the Holy Spirit brings a lot more. John 6:28 says this, "And they said unto him, What shall we do that we might do the works of God?" What a great question. What shall we do that we might do the works of God? For us to accomplish the work Jesus commissioned us to do, we need to break into a dimension like we have never seen before. In Revelation, it talks about losing your first love. And again, I confess that there are times when I look back and I think, why aren't I doing what I used to do? Because I've become comfortable? Because I don't have to? I don't know. We need to stir ourselves up. We need to break into a dimension, not just what we did, but the new dimensions of God that are there. Searching, mining, finding out what are the things that are there. You're only going to have that by reading the Word, by allowing yourself to study, to seek out what it is that God has for you, but also by discerning the leading of the Holy Spirit in what He wants you to do. Walking down the street, you hear that small, still voice. Go and talk to that person. Get out of it. Not me. I'll get Serge. He does it good. No, I want you to do it. Yeah, but I don't know what to say. Yes, you do. You've got it inside you. Plug in. Start being obedient. God wants us to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all and beyond all that we can ever think or even all that we can ever ask. How much do we want to see our community impacted and changed for God? That's the question. I think that I wouldn't be unkind if I said 99.9999% of us in this room have stopped at the point of blessing, enjoying life as we know it and what we've got, without realizing and recognizing why God placed His Spirit in us. I say that we've stopped at the point of blessing and we have missed the depth of the spiritual relationship that God intended us to have. One of the things that I love about hanging around with Pastor Oxy and Jill is that they're forever talking to me about the things that God is showing them. as Pastor Oxy sits in his office and he listens to the Word of God on his DVD and he meditates and muses, the next time you sit with him, he will want to talk to you about something that God has revealed to him, some fresh thought that he's got. Sometimes he will say, well, I think I had that wrong back there, and this is something fresh and something new. But the thing that it shows me is that nearly at 101, you don't just stop and turn it off and say, I've had enough. Have we gone far enough? Have you gone far enough? Have I gone far enough? No, I haven't. You know, we can quote Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we can say it and we know it. And most of you would have quickly said to me, the Holy Spirit brings power. But I would say, yeah, that's true, but are you using it? Are you using that intended power for the purpose that Jesus gave it to you? Go ye into all the world, etc., etc., etc. And this adds on to Matt's message of sharing our faith. Sharing our faith is not necessarily going and opening up the Bible and preaching to somebody. It could be just praying for them. It could be just a pat on the back and, hey, God loves you. It could be asking a question. It could be opening a door, but you're doing that as you're led by the Spirit. I think we've failed to break past that point of blessing, as I said. Failed to break into the promises that Jesus had for us. And I think that promise is the power that comes through the Holy Spirit. What shall we do that we might do the works of God? You have to be plugged in first to the power source. But being plugged into the power source and having nothing running out of that is a waste of energy. It's not going anywhere. It's just still there. Not doing anything. It's when you plug something into that that you start to see breakthrough. You have a choice, don't you? You have the natural tool or you have the power tool. We can use our natural abilities or we can use our power abilities. It's coming. I don't want you to see this one. You know, for me, I actually love power tools. You can use the Mickey Mouse pruning tool. But if you're a real man, now this is a pruning tool. Now, what would you rather use? Ladies, I know that you would say about your husbands, you'd rather them use that. But I tell you, ladies, you've got it wrong. This is the finishing tool. This is the starting tool. I had a block of land in Hillsville and even the fence posts were chopped. It's true, isn't it? We can use the natural tool. The job will get done, but it won't get done as quick. And it won't be in power. You can use... this is the ladies' tool. Graham, will you mix the cream? Gladly. A thermomix. This takes 1 second to mix the cream. 2 seconds, you have butter. 5 hours, up to you. Up to you what you use. It's very different going from the natural to the supernatural. And if you have nothing from this message today, I want you to know that if you're a Christian, you have supernatural ability to do the work of God. Ryobi have an ad, 100 tools with one battery source. A tool for every job. You remember that ad that they've got the guy and he comes in and Father's Day, it's just happened, so it's too late, it's already filled, but he's done an outline on his shadow board and he's written down the tools that he still hasn't got. Now, I'm not a Ryobi man, by the way. I'm a DeWalt man, if anyone's buying me a tool. A DeWalt, please. But I still have one battery for all the tools. Let's press on and let's start to use the power source. As we do that, then we will start to see the signs that Jesus said that he was commissioning us to do outworked. That we will see demons being expelled from people. We will speak in new tongues. We will pick up snakes. We will drink deadly poison. And we'll place our hands on the sick and they will get healed. To work the works of God, we must be willing to go beyond where we are right now. To go beyond where we are right now means that we have to go past this point, the point of blessing or the point of being comfortable and start to move in to the power that God has given us. So as we consider what this is living now really means, let's take advantage of everything that Jesus promised. Remember he said, however, I'm telling you, nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, it's good, it's expedient, it's advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comfort of the counselor, the help of the advocate, the intercessor, the strength of the standby will not come to you. That is, come in close fellowship with you. But if I do go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. How much of the power of the Holy Spirit are you using? How much more is there to use? If we were exercising and doing what Jesus told us to do and relying and leaning on his Holy Spirit, then our world wouldn't be in such a sick place as it is right now. So my challenge to you right now is to say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Talking about our temple. And Holy Spirit, I want to lean on and rely on you to operate through me. When you get up in the morning, Holy Spirit, lead me today. And then be obedient when he talks to you. When you open your word before you start, Holy Spirit, reveal truth to me today. When you want to pray, Holy Spirit, pray through me today. When you go to pray for somebody, Holy Spirit, guide me as I pray and let your power flow through me this day. Let's let the Holy Spirit have his way. Let's not quench the Spirit. Let's not push the Spirit down because we feel uncomfortable. And when you feel comfortable using something that's natural, go and find something that's got some more power. What is the power that you've got for me in this situation, Holy Spirit? Amen? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would move by your Spirit. And Lord God, as we focus on this is living now, that Lord God, we would go out of this place and, Lord, that we would put doctrine aside, but we would allow the truth of your word, that you've given us the Holy Spirit to work the works that you've got for us. And that we've got the Holy Spirit within us to give us the power to do the things that you want us to do. That you haven't left us empty. You haven't deserted us as we deserted you. But that you return to your Father, giving us everything that we need to do the commission that you've given us to do. And Lord, as we speak about that commission, I pray that you would again just overshadow our lives with what it is that you want us to do. And that, Father, we wouldn't say let somebody else do it, but we would become your hands and feet. So God, I thank you for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you reside in me. And Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. We pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.